That video is one of my favorite marriage videos. It's probably because it speaks to the lack of understanding we as husbands sometimes exhibit towards our wives, and how we continually battle with the need to try to fix it first and then listen. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 deal with the relationship dynamic between husbands and wives. Peter makes it clear what God expects from this relationship. Just to review, in part 1 last week, we looked at verses 1 to 6 and wives submitting to their husbands. This biblical submission dynamic means a Christian wife is willing to follow God's authority arrangement for marriage. And I would say that following this dynamic is not only pleasing to God, but it has significant spiritual implications. You see, according to the text, a submissive, godly wife can be the most effective outreach strategy for an unsaved husband. Also, a lack of submission towards a husband can lead to sinful actions, and it sets the poor example of disrespect. And then finally, we are challenged, according to Peter, to have marriages that look different than our culture. And I realize that submission is really not in style these days. But style is not the standard for our sanctification, the Word of God is. Verses 1 through 6 also reminded Christian wives of some valuable beauty tips. Beauty tip number 1 from the Bible is this: do not be obsessed with validation based on outward appearance or outward beauty. Bible beauty tip number 2 was: pursue the fade-proof beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And the text ended by Sarah being offered as a Bible beauty spokesperson because she recognized Abraham as the leader and head of their household. So this morning, we make our way to part 2, Husbands and Wives, 1 Peter 3 and verse number 7. And there's only one verse for husbands, but don't underestimate it. There's a lot packed into this one verse. And husbands, we have some work to do. So if you're not already there, I would encourage you to take your Bibles now and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Find your way to verse number 7. Grab your sermon guide. Wives, make sure your husbands find it there in their Bibles. And before I read verse 7 for you, I want to just step back for a moment and talk about application. Because as I'm speaking and sharing this message today, I know that many of you that are listening are married, husbands and wives in a married relationship, and you'll see right away the practical application of this text to your lives. But there'll be some that are listening that are not yet married, whether they're young people or college age, or you're just not yet married, and you think, well, I guess I can tune this message out. And really, you shouldn't. Because the kind of wife you're looking for, the kind of husband you're looking for, should exhibit the qualities that Peter is talking about in this passage. You want to know how to find the right wife or the right husband according to God? It's not eHarmony. It's the Word of God that will help you. And also, maybe you were previously married and you find yourself in a different season of life, so you're tempted to kind of tune out this morning. Don't do that either, because I believe that God will give you opportunities to give advice and godly counsel to young people or family members or kids or grandkids as they're thinking about getting married. You'll have the opportunity to give them some godly wisdom. And one of the places you should take them to talk to them about what kind of wife or husband they should be pursuing would be 1 Peter chapter 3. So it's applicable to all of us this morning. So let's again go to 1 Peter 3. Let me read verse 7 for you. Peter writes, "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers." He starts off by saying this: "Husbands, in the same way." So although the word submission is not used in verse 7, the call for husbands to respond in certain ways to their wives is just as binding and necessary in God's sight as wives submitting to their husbands in verses 1 to 6. Practically speaking, how I treat my wife is a direct reflection of my willingness to submit to God's authority over my life. Speaking to this verse, John MacArthur puts it this way: though not submitting to his wife as a leader, a believing husband must submit to the loving duty of being sensitive to the needs, fears, and feelings of his wife. So in other words, a Christian husband needs to put her needs before his. Why? Because your care for your wife matters to God. It matters to her, and it's being watched by other people. So in the same way, is fleshed out, this phrase, in the same way, is fleshed out with two what I call man-up commands for husbands. This morning, husbands, Christian husbands, it's time for us to man up in our relationships with our wives and what that looks like, no matter what the world paints it to be or expects it to be. God has some clear direction for us. So man-up command number one is found in this phrase: be considerate as you live with your wives. Think with me for a moment about the word considerate. Here are several synonyms for that word: thoughtful, kind, caring, selfless. These are all good options for husbands to demonstrate toward their wives. But there's one word that best fits the word considerate that is being used by Peter in this verse. That one word is this: understanding. Other translations state this verse this way: live with your wives in an understanding way. Dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge. You might be thinking, what exactly is this understanding that is being referenced through the word considerate? Well, listen closely, because in the context of husbands being considerate to their wives, understanding in this verse means this: important information gleaned from a first-hand conversation. Understanding is important information gleaned from a first-hand conversation. This means that husbands, you are to look for insight into the life of your wife as it relates to her needs, both physically and spiritually and emotionally. You should be doing some investigating. You should be getting some knowledge, gaining some information firsthand from her. And I like what Peter says, where he says, be considerate as you live with your wives. Your wives. It's almost like Peter is saying, as it relates to understanding, if you don't seek to understand her, then who's going to do it? It's our responsibility, husbands. It's our role as a loving Christian husband to be considerate to our wives, and it starts with understanding. Way too many Christian wives have expressed these thoughts about their husbands: he doesn't understand me. We never talk, or at least not deeply. He doesn't know how I feel or what I'm thinking about. And I want you to know that such insensitivity can build walls in marriages. Husbands, listen. Would your wives say that you have regular moments of expressing interest about their needs and concerns? Are we thoughtful or distracted? Are we kind or insensitive? Are we selfless or clueless? And men, and husbands in particular, we shouldn't use the excuse that men just don't understand women. Here's the reason why. You see, men, we can be experts or knowledgeable about a lot of things. Things like sports, or cars, or computers, or business, or sales, or hobbies, or carpentry. So we have the capacity to be experts. We have the capacity to know a lot of things about a lot of different areas of life. So the good news is this, husbands: you don't need to be experts on women, but you should have a pretty solid understanding of your wife. And you have the ability to do that. It's biblical and it's doable. Will it require some ongoing investigating? Yes. I want to just help you out here by giving to you some practical ways to develop a better understanding of your wife. Number one, ask insightful questions. Insightful questions are the kind that cannot be easily answered with a simple yes or no. Here's some examples that questions you could ask to your wife. What do you fear the most? At what times do you need assurance of my love the most? What things can I do that show my appreciation for you? In what ways would you like me to protect you and lead you? Gentlemen, these are insightful questions that we should be asking to gain a better understanding of our wives. Now, listen, some husbands take this approach to understanding their wives as it relates to questions. Here's their strategy. If I don't ask, I won't have anything to do. If I don't get any information, I won't be held responsible. Guys, I want to stop you right now. Husbands, I want to stop you right now and let you know that strategy does not fly with God. He wants us to ask. He wants us to gain understanding. He wants us to use insightful questions. A second way to help with this understanding of our wives is to develop better listening skills. The Bible says to be quicker to listen and slower to speak. Proverbs 18:13, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. Better listening skills include undivided attention. Turn the TV off. Turn the radio off. Turn the iPad off. Turn your phone off. Better listening skills also include listening body language. That means your body language as you're listening to your wife. Do you seem distracted? Are your eyes kind of going off to the side? Are you rolling your eyes? Are you giving the idea that you're just not interested in what she's saying? Are you also listening by watching her body language and seeing the things that are really causing her pain that are coming out in a physical expression? Those are better listening skills. Better listening also involves listening beyond just the basic meaning and listening to her heart. What is her heart saying? And remember, guys, this is something you're commanded to do for your wife, to be better in your understanding. And there's a third way that you can develop a better understanding of your wife. Be sensitive to their season of life. Be sensitive to their season of life. Now, guys, we have our favorite seasons of life that we want our wives to understand and be sensitive about. Here they are. Hunting season, fishing season, boating season, camping season, snowmobile season. We want them to understand, be sensitive about our seasons of life. And sometimes it's baseball season, or football season, or basketball season, or soccer season, and on and on. And we want them, oh honey, just understand, it's this season of life for me. Be sensitive about it. And we want that from them. But are we sensitive to their seasons of life? Your wife may have particular dates on the calendar that if you have a clue about it, if you're tuned in, you'll understand that certain dates on the calendar may be causing her sadness or moments of reflection because of maybe a lost loved one or something that happened or some other situation that happened in her life. And you should be aware of that. We're talking beyond just your anniversary and her birthday, although those things are important. We're just talking about these days that really maybe are going to just cause some emotional unrest in her life. Her season of life might be an empty nest now. You should be aware of that and sensitive to it. It could be that the nest is absolutely full, and you need to be aware of that. Wives also go through physical changes over the years, and we should be mindful of that, husbands, for our wives. Not worried about other people, but our wives. And this will help us to gain a better understanding of them if we know the seasons of life that they're in. Now, you may say, husband, hey, I've done 1 through 3. I've tried to ask good questions. I've tried to be a good listener. I'm trying to be sensitive to their season of life. I've done 1 through 3. I'm all done, right? No. To fully fulfill the meaning of be considerate, we must go beyond just gathering the information about our wives. Here's what I mean. Being considerate is matching the information with the appropriate response. Being considerate is matching the information that you've gleaned through your good questions and your conversations and your listening, gathering this information and matching it with the appropriate response. Because listen, information without interaction is irritating. I'll say it once more. Information without interaction is irritating. To gather this information of understanding about your wife and realize where she's at and the needs that she has and do nothing about it, this is irritating to them. It's discouraging to them. So we need to discover the need. We need to acknowledge the need. We even need to try to feel the need, and then we need to try to meet the need. And listen, fixing the need is not always bad as long as you know when it's not about the nail. Your good conversations will produce plenty of response ideas from your wife. But in case you need some, get you started, here you go. How do you respond? How do you be considerate? She could probably use some words of affirmation and assurance. Perhaps a gentle touch of affection. Holding your hand in public. Just a gentle touch. Or acts of kindness. For your wife, it might be flowers or chocolates or a card or a text. It could be emptying the dishwasher. It could be taking the kids. And based on what we've been facing, if you have a lot of kids in your house, it could just be taking the kids in another room so she doesn't have to deal with them for a while. And you've learned that because you've understood her, and then you respond to that information. So, first man up command is husbands, be considerate. The second one is this. Man up command number two, treat them with respect or honor. Treat them with respect or honor. The word respect here means to assign to them their proper value. Another way I heard it described, which I really love as it relates to husbands relating to their wives, is this. The word respect means that someone that has, it is someone that has value in the eyes of the beholder. That means, husbands, as you behold your wives, you see them as valuable. What does the Bible say? Here's what the Bible says. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. An excellent wife who can find, implying that when you find a wife, she is far more precious than jewels. Then I love what Solomon says about his bride in Song of Solomon. And many scholars believe that this woman mentioned in Song of Solomon is his first wife before everything kind of broke loose later on. Here's what he says about his wife. How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. And then he says, you have stolen my heart, my bride. You have stolen my heart. Wow. He respected her. He was saying to all those who would listen, this is my wife. She's important to me. I value her. I respect her. I honor her. And this should affect how I talk to her and how I talk about her. It should affect how I treat her and how I don't treat her. Husbands, think about this. If someone asked your wife how valuable you were to her, how would she respond? If someone asked your wife how valuable she was to you, how would she respond? If you're nervous about her answer, it's time for you to drive up the value. How do you do that? Simple ways. When you're out and about in the future and you're with your wife and you meet some people and maybe they don't know who she is, you know what? Show her some honor, show her some love and respect by introducing her. Man, I've messed up on that often where I tell people who I am and my wife just stands there and I don't even introduce her. Wow, that's sending the wrong message. Introduce her. Acknowledge her. Include her. Flirt with her. Compliment her, treasure her. Why? Because you want to treat her with respect and honor, and she has value in the eyes of the beholder, which would be you. So husbands, your two man-up commands are to be considerate and treat your wives with respect. These two man-up commands for husbands are followed by three man-up motivations. Go back with me again to chapter 3 and verse 7. First motivation is found in this phrase. It says, husbands, be considerate to your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. Weaker partner here is not referring to spiritual or intellectual weakness, but physical and perhaps emotional weakness. So motivation number one for husbands to be considerate to their wives and treat them with respect is this. Your wife needs your protection, your provision, and your perpetuity. Your protection, your provision, and your perpetuity. Let me just address quickly those first two words, protection and provision. There is a sense that a wife wants the protection, even the physical protection of her husband. My wife wants to know that she's safe. She wants to know that if there ever was a problem and there ever was a need for her to be defended physically, that guess what? I'm going to step in. If there's a sound in the house downstairs, I'm not sending her. I'm going. She needs to be assured of that protection. Also, provision. Provision here is not just talking about the husband providing for the wife economically and in other ways. It's also talking about in the area of intimacy, that the husband is there to provide for the wife in the physical aspect of their relationship. That's part of what I'm supposed to be doing. And I'm motivated because I know that my wife needs my protection and my provision. And then finally, perpetuity. That's just like a $10 word. And I don't try to use words just to make you sound impressive. But when I looked up the definition of that word, perpetuity, I thought it fit perfectly with what a wife needs. Because perpetuity is a financial term, and it refers to a bond or other security with no fixed maturity date. That means it's kind of like an annuity or a bond or some kind of security paper financially that has no maturity date. It goes on and on and on. It never ends. Guess what my wife needs? Guess what I need to communicate to my wife? Guess why I need to be motivated to be loving her and respecting her and treating her with consideration? Why? Because she needs to be assured of my permanence. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not going anyplace. We're in this together. We're going to go this journey all the way through till God separates us. And she needs to know that. That's a motivation for me. And part of how she knows that is by the way that I treat her. Your wife needs you. My wife needs me. That should motivate me. Motivation number two comes from the phrase, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. So husbands, be considerate and treat your wives with respect as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Number two motivation of why I should be considerate, why I should be understanding my wife, and why I should be treating her with honor is this. Because my wife is equally valued by God and will share in the same unmatched inheritance as you, or as me. Your wife is equally valued by God and will share in the same unmatched inheritance as you. Earlier in 1 Peter, we learned about that anybody that has a relationship with Jesus Christ has a living hope, has a new birth. They're a chosen people, a treasured possession of God, a holy priesthood. Guess what? Your wife is so much more than just your wife. She is all those things and so much more because of her relationship with Christ. So before God, keep in mind, husband, that your wife is of eternal value to God and is precious in His sight. And that should motivate me. Why should I be acting toward my wife this way? Not just because it's commanded by God, but because I'm seeing her as one who is a co-heir with me, with the unmatched inheritance of the future, heaven and earth, and just the blessings of salvation and the grace of God has been poured out in her lives. And so she deserves nothing less than what the best that I can give her. Should motivate me. Motivation number three for me to be considerate and respectful is found in the last phrase in verse 7. Husbands, be considerate and treat them with respect so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Third motivation is related to our prayer life. The word hindered here means to impede, to detain, or to interrupt. Third motivation for treating my wife correctly is this. A husband who neglects to care for and value his wife creates an obstacle for his prayers to be answered. Husbands, that's pretty serious. We should be cultivating our prayer life. And as difficult as that is just on a regular basis, we might get much more difficult if we are mistreating our wives, because according to this text, if we don't treat our wives the right way, we're putting up an obstacle. We're putting up a wall to our prayers being answered. They're being hindered. They're being interrupted. So God takes very seriously how I treat my wife, and that should be a motivation to me. This one verse reminds us, husbands, this morning, to regularly evaluate how we are responding to these man-up challenges of how we treat our wives, and also understand the motivation that's behind what we do. So husbands, I would encourage you to set aside some time today or in the next week to really evaluate where you are as it relates to verse 7 and how you're living this out in your relationship with your wife. In 1 Peter 3, 1 through 7, we have seen the overriding principle of submission as it relates to husbands and wives. Wives, submission to your husband is God's design for marriage and is demonstrated by developing the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And this is of great worth in God's sight. Husbands, we are to submit by understanding and valuing our wives. And with these two dynamics of submission in mind, here's what we end up with in a God-honoring way. Wives, you should strive to follow your husbands in such a way that make it a joy for him to lead. And then husbands, we should be striving to make it a joy for our wives to follow our lead. So submission in chapter 3, 1 through 7 is not this. God has designed it to be this. And I pray that we would make this the model and example in our marriages. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the clear example that you have given to us from your word and the relationship between husbands and wives. And we know that in our culture, ideas of consideration even or submission and respect, these things are often challenged or are distorted. But God, you are great in your wisdom and just awesome in your wisdom as it relates to marriages. So I pray for the husbands and wives listening today to this service and in our church that we would work on having strong marriages. And I think it would start by looking for ways that we could submit to each other and honor even the text of 1 Peter chapter 3. So God, when we're tempted to be selfish and tempted to have our own agenda or follow our own way or just kind of be lazy in our marriages, help us to fight that temptation. And look for ways to understand each other better, to care for each other, and to lead and to follow in such ways that bring honor and glory to you. And God, in order for this to happen, it's going to be a daily adventure, and it's also going to be a daily discipline. So we need your help with this. I pray that you would help us to do this through your Spirit. And we pray for even now, this week, that we would begin to apply these principles to our marriages. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. I want to end by just sharing a quote from Gary Thomas. He writes, "A good marriage isn't something you find. It's something you make, and you have to keep on making it together." God bless you.